The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. I hope you're going to have a good day today listening. And if you want, you can give me a call on this wonderful April 15th, 2024. Oh, man, tax day. But the number is 877-207-2276. There you go. All right, also, let's see. We've got that going on. Yes, it should be working. Or did I not do it right? I didn't do it right. Let me finish up the Rumble thing. Oh, man, I forgot to do something with the Rumble. Dang it. You know, I get busy. I just get busy sometimes, so let me do that right now. So, anyway, if you want to give me a call, like I said, 877-207-2276. It's easy to do. And if you are also inclined to email me, that's easy. All you have to do is dial, put in your email, info@carm.org. And if you do that, just put in the subject line, put in there, Carm, let's see, subject line would be radio question or radio comment. It's easy to do. All right, I want to hear from you. I forgot to do that. I was going to write a movie review today. I went and I saw the movie Civil War. And let me just tell you that it was really interesting. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit, and what I think you might be interested in watching or not watching out of it. It wasn't exactly what I expected, but it was also quite good. And I'm glad I went and saw it. And I know that there's a lot of you out there who might be, hesitant about watching it. Let me tell you what it is. It's kind of hard to describe. It's not really political. It's not, it doesn't take left or right-ism. It doesn't say who's right, who's wrong. It doesn't take a political side. There are two factions fighting, and you don't know which one is left, which one is right, which one is conservative, which one isn't. It's just interesting. There's a lot of bad going on all over the place, and it makes you not want to have civil war. And what I think is interesting is that it's really a topic that's coming up more and more, the issue of civil war here in America. And it's unfortunate, but I think I don't know if it's heading that way, but I mean, it's just a lot of people who are really upset with what's happening in the government and how the leftist regime is taxing the crud out of everybody, pushing woke leftist agenda, opening the borders up for us being invaded. There are just a lot of people who are really upset about that and don't want anything to do with that continued leftist ideology. Now, I do know there's a lot of people who are very angry, and the civil war is not the way to do it, not to solve the problem. What needs to be done is voting, and people need to call the government to repentance, call the government to the actuality of doing what they're supposed to be doing. They aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. And the sense is that, the sense is, I'm fixing one last thing here. Here we go. I should open it up. I hope that'll fix the Rumble stream. So, I saw a program today, and an interesting comment was made. It said the left already is at war. There is a cold war that the left is waging against the rest of America, in that it is trying to dominate and take control over America. They are at war. So the left will do things like stand on roads and stop commerce. They will protest. pull fire alarms when conservatives speak. They are foul very often, and in power, they abuse their power. I'm not saying Republicans and conservatives don't do that too, but it's well known that the left does this a great deal. And they promote racism, they promote socialism, they promote the LGBTQ alphabet mob mentality, and they are working to restrict religious freedoms, particularly of Christians. So I consider the left a terrorist organization. That's just my opinion. The Democratic Party, I don't think, is in the best interest of America. I really don't. That's just my opinion. All right, so I know a lot of people, and I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of stuff from people all over the country, and a lot of people, let me just tell you, are very upset. They don't like what's happening. So this Civil War movie was interesting. It really was interesting. I was intrigued by it. So my wife, so she might want to go see it, and I showed her a 3-minute thing on TV, what it was, the clips, and she goes, I don't know if I want to see it now. But it is not pretty. It is not comforting. It's, like I said, it doesn't take a political stand. You don't know who's left, right, who's good or bad. It's completely neutral, and it's done from the perspective of reporters, of the media. Now, the media, I don't trust the media. I don't. I don't trust CNN, MSNBC. I don't trust them. And I go to conservative news outlets, and even sometimes they're not very good. But anyway, in this movie, the media wasn't conservative or liberal. They were only trying to do something that was just get a certain bit of film and information. That I don't want to tell you what it was. That's all they were doing. And they had to go through a lot of crud during this during the movie in order to get where they were going. And it was very, very difficult and very sobering. And one of the things I thought was interesting in it is that it would really show the depravity of man. The depravity of mankind and the quickness with which people can become treacherous. It's definitely something that was in the film. So there's foul language. The Lord's name is used in vain, but this is in the context of war, and it's in the context of people dying and things like that. And so would I recommend it? Yes and no. No, if you don't like that kind of level of violence and foul language. The foul language wasn't pervasive like it is in a lot of movies, but it's definitely it's not exactly G-rated, okay? And I can see why it's rated R. So I'm glad I went and saw it. I enjoyed it, not in a carnal sense, but enjoyed it in the sense that it was informative and maybe not want civil war. It's just not pretty. And I've talked to people here where I live about it, about civil war, and they all say the same thing. They don't want that. They don't want it. Is it coming to that? Who knows? Now think about this. With the border being opened by the leftist wacko morons, letting us being invaded from the south and a little bit from the north, the people who hate our country all over the world, you know for a fact that they have set people in motion crossing the border who are then in sleeper cells, and they're going to wait for the right time to attack. This is what the borders are here to stop. And when the left, which to me is absolutely stunningly amazing, why anybody would support the Democratic Party when they open the borders for invasion, I just can't understand it. And the Democratic Party is the party of racism, of the KKK, of socialism, of oppression. It is bad, and I often, well, sometimes what I'll do is I'll read the history of the Democratic Party from the website, the article I got on my website. So anyway, I know when I talk like this, a lot of people are offended. I don't care. I don't care if you're offended. It doesn't bother me any. You get offended, turn the channel. I don't care. But it doesn't bother me. So the thing is, if what I say offends you, don't like me talking politics as a Christian, well then stop reading the Bible. because the Bible tells us certain political actions. We are not to support people who kill babies in abortion. We're not to support socialism either. People think, oh, Jesus taught socialism. No, he did not. The Bible actually teaches, believe it or not, owning property and the right of self-defense, and the issue of jury, the issue of representation. It actually teaches us, and I have an article on it on the website that actually shows biblical citations where these things are taught in Scripture. And it definitely teaches the idea of closed borders, and it teaches the idea of our language and the whole thing. And so the left, what it does is it promotes abortion, killing of the babies. It does. And pro-homosexuality, wokeness, socialism, they do the things that you want to do if you want to destroy a country. So that's why, in my opinion, at least I'm still able to say this. I think the Democratic Party is a could be classified as a terrorist organization, even though what they're doing is trying to classify Christians, white Anglo-Saxon male Protestants, as terrorists. And there's movements, you guys don't know about this. There's laws that they're trying to get pushed through and little things on and extra packages of law, bills that are they're trying to say, you know, you can't have hate speech, you can't have certain things, and if you're guilty of it, you can be things can be confiscated from you, your rights can be removed, and this is gradually moving towards the issue of persecution of Christians. And we know that Canada's already doing this a lot more than we are. Anyway, I'm just talking, okay? So the movie Civil War, is it worth seeing? I think it is. I think it is worth seeing. I think it's sobering. I think it's worth watching and being educated, just like I think it's worth watching stuff on World War II and the Holocaust. I think it's worth watching what the history of the Communist Party in Russia and how many, you know, 100 million people that they killed. I think it's worth watching stuff like that. I think it's worth being informed instead of just being nose deep in your phone with texting and then promoting your personal life all over social media. This is just another way to keep people uneducated and ill-informed so that when the Democratic Leftist Party cancels your school loan debt, then you'll vote for them. So they're opening the borders up for the socialists to come in from all over the country, all over the world, to come in and then give them right to vote, and then they'll vote socialists, they'll vote Democrats. This means our country is just being doomed. So the left doesn't play fair. And it's just how they are. And by the way, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. Okay, I'm a constitutionalist. And that's another thing that bothers me, is I watch these news things. Even the conservatives, they talk about our democracy. We do not live in a democracy. We're in a constitutional republic. I wish they would stop saying this. Just stop saying democracy. We are not in a democracy. We are in a constitutional republic. And what that means is that constitution is a document that sets the basic rules and limits and abilities of the government. And a republic means that we have representatives who we send into political offices in order to represent us and pass laws for the better interest of the population. And in the republic, there's a Bill of Rights, which means we have certain limitations on the government. But what the government is trying to do, and the leftist moron pieces of crud are trying to do, is take away our rights, little by little, because they want control. Why? Because in their arrogance, they think they know better than anybody else. They're Antichrist. Hey, how about that for being offensive on a nice Monday? If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I know that a lot of times people say on radio, Christian radio, don't talk politics. That's not the biblical position. We are to talk politics. We are, even from the pulpit, pastors should be saying things, and they should be addressing that kind of stuff from the pulpit. I know that a lot of Christians would disagree. Okay, well, all I can tell you is that the Bible says that God works all things after the counsel of his will, and Jesus is Lord of everything, not just church. He's a Lord of our world. He's the King, and we are to bring all things into submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Christians should be studying Christian theology. They should be studying the necessity of the Trinity as a necessary precondition for all intelligibility. They should be studying Christian history. They should be studying political stuff from the scriptures, and they should be studying how to evangelize and how to get everything that we need pushed out into the culture and get culture to change. That's what we should be doing. That's what we're obligated to do as Christians. But too many Christians, in my opinion, are serving the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus dressed in a woman's nightgown, waiting for the pre-tribulation rapture so that you can just be taken up. Everything will be nicey-wicey and good for you. And the heretical teaching that God wants you healthy, wealthy, prosperous, and, you know, all this stuff is just ear-tickling false teaching that's going on in the Protestant movement right now. And it's really bad. And I have discovered over the years of teaching theology to all kinds of Christians is that they are woefully lacking in biblical theology, understanding the Word of God, understanding who the Trinity is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, what salvation is, what justification is, sanctification, and other things. And I think it's probably because they're being taught hammock theology. I call it hammock theology. Just sit in a hammock and you'll be comforted and sway back and forth while you're being nursed. And so I don't think this is a proper thing for Christians to do. I think we are to be considered as warriors. Now, in 2 weeks, I'm supposed to be speaking at a conference, and I'll be talking about this very kind of a thing. And I'll be mentioning how we are to work hard for the kingdom of God. And we are to put our effort and our energies ultimately for the expansion of the kingdom of God, the promotion of the Christian gospel. We should be resisting evil, the evil of Islam, the evil of leftism, of atheism, the evil of socialism, communism. We should be resisting those things. It doesn't mean we do it with violence. It means that we resist them. We vote. We petition. We make phone calls. We make do emails. We go out and protest. And we need to be doing this kind of a thing. And if we Christians just sit around and say, well, Jesus wouldn't harm anybody, he wouldn't ever say carry a weapon, when he did in Luke 22:36. Jesus actually instructed the disciples to do that when he sent them out into the world. And no, God is a respecter of persons. He will not overwrite your free will, because your free will is so sovereign that God's a gentleman and it's just up to you and it's up to them. And so I'm just going to worry about me going to church, paying a 10% tithe occasionally, doing what I got to do, and listening to sermons that make me feel good. So this is something I think is a weakness within the Christian church right now. And I know that a lot of Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox might take what I just said and try and use it against Protestantism, but I've already been saying Protestantism is going bad. There's all kinds of heresies inside of it. Now, Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism are apostate. They are false religious systems. They are. They teach false doctrines. And they're not a Christian church. Either one of them is Christian. They're Christian in outside appearance, but they're not Christian in their substance. They teach false gospel and promote idolatry. And the Protestant church is moving more towards an idolatrous Christian humanist philosophy that is being promoted from pulpits across America. I'm not saying every pastor is doing that. A lot of good pastors out there. You know, I know some good pastors around here, and there are a lot of good ones. It's just that there's not enough good ones. We need more good ones, and we need to have more evangelism, more Bible studies. We need to be promoting the gospel, you know, and this is a little something. See, we barely have enough money to keep this radio show going. Barely. Now, Christians out there, why aren't you, or are you, okay, supporting this radio show, $5 a month, $10 a month? We do get occasionally a nice check from people, and I call them and I say thank you very much, because really it is thank you very much. But what we need is to be able to have more money to get more stations. And it's just an uphill fight all the time. And a lot of ministries are having problems like this because the Christians are more concerned with their cable bill than the promotion of the gospel. And so this kind of thing is a problem. And we need to realize that everything that God has given us has not been given us for our comfort and for our glory, but ultimately for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Isaiah 43:7 that God made us for his glory. And so we are to use what we have as gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of the Lord Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And you know the parable of the one who's received many talents, and when Jesus was talking about this, and one guy buried his talents in the dirt, you know, and he got in trouble for that. Because in the parable that that Jesus told, I forgot where that is, but let's see if we find it really quickly. Matthew 25, yes. And so, maybe we'll go through that a little bit. So, here we go. Look at check this out. This is Matthew 25:14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And he said, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each one according to his own ability, and went on his journey. So this relates to what we are as Christians. God gives us varying talents. Now, this is a convenient play on words. Talent is actually the Greek word there for a form of money, and it's talanta in Greek. And, well, it represents our abilities, our talents, which it's really kind of cool. It's just, you know, a nice convenience of word meaning. To one he gave 5 talents, another 2, another 1. So some have more giftings in the Christian church than another. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. In other words, he didn't do anything with it. Now, you got talents, you have gifts, and you're not doing anything with them. Now, if you don't know what your talents and your gifts are, that's another issue. And if you're a new Christian, okay, we get it. But I could talk about how to discover what your talents are, because it's not that hard. And he goes on in Matthew 25:17, in the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more, etc. And then I read that. And then, so after a long time, the master of those slaves came, settled accounts with them. The one who'd received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me, seeing I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter in the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, went away, and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. Now, after the break, we'll get back to this. And this is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 25. These are his words. So please stay tuned. Be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Now, after I'm done going through this parable of Matthew 25, 14 through 30, I believe it is, about the talents, yes, I'll then talk about how to discover what your abilities are, what your giftings are, okay? It's really easy, actually. But so I'll just continue. The man asked, guy with 1 talent or 2 talents and buried it, 1 talent. He said, you wicked slave, you knew that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Now listen to this. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is interesting because this is eschatological. It's judgment. Now, you see, the thing is here, what he is condemning is doing nothing with what was given him. If you're a true Christian, then what is in you is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fruit of the Spirit will be in you, Galatians 5:22, sorry. And so you'll be able to do things. But you got to think about this. If you claim to be a Christian, and you don't use any of your giftings for the furthering of the kingdom, for preaching and teaching, of tithing, of attending church, of helping your neighbor, trying to promote Christ, whatever it might be, there's thousands of different ways, and you really don't care, and you're not all that concerned, maybe you're a worthless slave, you're a worthless servant. If you claim to be a Christian, and it's not in your heart to bring glory to the Lord and work to some degree for his kingdom and to raise your children, your family members, to promote the truth of who Christ is to some degree, not every single second, come on. But this whole idea, if that's not in you, you're probably a false convert. And you probably have no idea what the true saving work of God is. And you'll be a worthless servant. And you'll be cast out on that day of judgment. Now, this is not a popular thing to say, but it's something that needs to be said, because what needs to happen is the Christian church needs to be pruned in order to bear more fruit, because I believe that the Christian church is, particularly the Protestant, is getting more and more full of people who are mamby-pamby hammock sitters, and they just want to be comforted. I mean, I'm really offending people. I know I am. Why do I not care? I don't know. Maybe it's my Asperger's. I'll just continue. Here's the thing. I believe that if you are a true believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you, then something in you has changed, and you're going to want, to some degree, some way, elevate the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to want to further his kingdom some way, somehow. Doesn't mean radio. Doesn't mean writing 8 books. It might just mean talking to your neighbor. But it'll mean something. And if you don't have that in you, and you think you're a Christian, you probably are not. Because this is what Jesus is saying in this parable of Matthew 25:14-30, and their talents, he says he didn't do anything with what was given him. He's worthless. He's cast into outer darkness. That's a sign of not being regenerate, not being changed in you. And you got to ask yourself, does that fit you? And if it does, if I were you, I'd be real afraid. Better hope your heart doesn't stop beating before you've truly trusted in Christ. Because eternity's a long time to be wrong. This is what it is. Don't be lukewarm. You don't be hot or cold. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Decide. Let me give you some advice. And this is tough advice. It's not easy. I suggest that if you're a real Christian, I'm sure maybe a lot of you already done this. You already done that, Matt. Okay, good. Praise God. Ask God to use you. Ask him to change you. Ask him to increase the movement of his Spirit within you. Ask him to change you, send you, mold you. It won't be easy, but he'll take you up on it. And he will often do this by showing yourself to yourself. And you might not like what you see, but this is what you should be doing. Asking him to use the gifts that he's already given you. Which reminds me, how do you find out what your giftings are? Well, it's not that hard. What you do is get on your knees and you ask God to reveal those gifts that he's given to you. First thing, you pray and you ask him, Lord, what have you given me? What am I to do with whatever it is? And you ask forgiveness. If you've been a Christian for years and you don't know your giftings, whoa, you better ask forgiveness for your ignorance and your willful laziness and not serving their Lord. You ask him, Lord, please cleanse me. I've been lazy. I've been weak. I've been occupied. And I just need to come to you and lay that before you and ask for your cleansing. And send me. But reveal to me what my gifts are. Reveal them to me. That's first step, okay? Then what you do is you continue to pray and you read the word. You pray on a regular basis. You read the word on a regular basis. Because the word and prayer will be united with the work of the Spirit in your heart. And what often happens is sometimes in that situation, God then moves you to go do something. And just because he moves you or you think you're moved to do something doesn't necessarily mean it's really of God. But it might be. I'm reminded once of a guy who told me that at a local church he wanted to do a fundraising, not a fundraising, a going to grocery stores and getting older food that was a little bit expired, but still good, and give food away to the homeless. And he had a place at the church, and he would do this, and he started doing this. It was a big success. He felt this need to do it. And then what happened was it started going bad. The homeless started gathering, doing bad things to the church, physically harming stuff. It became dangerous because that crowd gathered, and after a while they had to shut it down, and he considered it a failure. But you see, I don't consider that a failure. I consider that to be a success, and the enemy got in and tried to destroy and corrupt. But you see, he had this inkling to do something, an inkling, and he gave it a shot. Whether it worked perfectly or not perfectly isn't the issue, but he moved forward in faith, and we know that people were helped. When you go forward to move, to try to speak, to teach, to do a Bible study, to pray for somebody silently, to intercede, to do whatever it might be, to be honest as a mechanic, to be a good servant at a restaurant, to be whatever it is, to be a good mom raising children, and you're asking God to use you in those capacities, this is where you're primarily called and equipped. But if you want to know more, you have to take risks. You take risks. You try things. And it's okay to find out that, well, I'm not called to do that. That's okay. That's fine. Because God wants us to move by faith, not by sight, Habakkuk 2:4. You see, we live by faith. We trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who has already equipped us. Now, he hasn't whispered in your ear, I've given you the ability to whatever it is. No, you got to go out in the world and find it. You got to go out in the world and see what you're good at. And maybe you're super intimidated by that idea. Well, it's okay. Then maybe you're not gifted to do anything externally. Maybe it has to be internally, by prayer and fasting, or just taking a list of people that you arrange others to help with. It could be anything. Sometimes people are good at administrative work. My wife is good at that kind of stuff. I hate it. I love public speaking. She hates it. We have different giftings. And we work together in these things. She does the stuff I think is just torture. I mean, enter data into Excel spreadsheets and do numbers over there, which I like Excel, but just doing this endlessly, not my thing. So you see, I'm not gifted to do something like that because it's not something that I respond to. It's not in my heart that resonates. And that's one of the ways of finding out your giftings. Is it something that kind of resonates with you? Sometimes you may not be sure. But just take a chance. And if you fail at it, that's okay. It's fine. It's fine. That means, okay, that wasn't what I thought. Let me try this. Let me try that. But in the process, the Lord's shaping you. The Lord's using you. And like I said, it doesn't have to be some great external thing, you know, teaching at a seminary. No, no, no. It could be just you are doing a good job at whatever profession you are, or raising your children and taking care of what you are given, have been given by God to take care of, supporting people. Maybe it could be as little as writing little $5, $10 checks to different ministries, and you send them out. And you're hoping, it's not a whole bunch, but it's something. Because a whole bunch of little somethings could be a big, great accomplishment. And if you're listening to the Holy Spirit and he's calling others to do the same thing, you don't have to know that. You don't live by sight. You live by faith, and you answer to God, and you move. So you ask God to reveal to you what giftings you've been given, and then you stretch yourself by trying to use them. And sometimes you find out that I thought it was a gift, but it's not. I thought it was a calling, but it's not. That's okay. But a lot of times what happens is you start realizing, oh, this is good. And you praise God for what he's given you to do for his glory. All right? Hey, there's a break, kind of convenient. If you want to give me a call, we have nobody waiting, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Welcome to Get Offended Monday. It's so get tweaked. You know what? Nobody's calling right now. So I think what I'm going to do is continue talking out of the things that Jesus was saying. because after this parable in Matthew 25, 14 through 30 on the talents, the people who weren't using what they're gifted by God to do, the next thing he talks about is something very interesting. This is what he says. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Incidentally, right on the right side is a side of salvation, and left is a side of damnation. And if you check, at the beginning of the ministry, when the disciples were in the lake, and they were Galilee, and they were fishing, Jesus says, cast your net on the right side. Then they caught fish. At the beginning and the end of the ministry. But anyway, there you go. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ooh, interesting. Before I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. These are the sheep. They're not the goats. Goats are unbelievers. The sheep are the believers, okay? And he's saying you're being rewarded for your goodness, for using your talents. Okay. Says, I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. You see, the talents, the gifts, what we're called to do as sheep is to minister to people, to help further the kingdom. You know, tithing, clothing, whatever, helping, okay, is doing it to the Lord Jesus. This is important. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So you don't become righteous by what you do. You don't become righteous. You don't become a sheep by your actions. The sheep are the ones called by Christ. They're the ones regenerate. They're the ones given the truth. They're the ones who seek to honor the Lord. And you can do it in different ways. You can do it in a host of ways. Clothing people, helping the sick, visiting, going to prison, helping people, tithing, praying for people, giving people something to drink and a stranger. What he's talking about here in the context is it the way that they would do it back then. You just have to adapt these. What would the Lord have you do now? What would he have you do now? You know, what if you're in the neighborhood, for example, and you see a neighbor who their yard's getting really bad, and you're, what's going on? You know, maybe, you know, and they find out that they're sick or in hospital or something, you go mow the lawn for them. These little things, that's a way of using your talent, using your ability, because your talents aren't just like intellectual abilities, but it could be that you can mow a lawn. You have physical abilities. You can bring a meal to someone who just had a baby. You know, there's so many things in so many different ways that people can help other people. And doing it for the Lord. Doing it for, Lord, you know, you just gave me these things, this ability to do this, and what I can do right now may not be much. I'm going to go mow that lawn for that person. I'm going to make that meal for that person, bring it over, you know, and help out, and just stuff like that. It just reminds me, and he'll probably get a kick out of this. And, okay, Bill, I know that you're listening. that you'll be listening to this recorded later. And Bill's a good example of someone who needs help. Oh, mental help? Boy, there's a lot of that. Woo-hoo. But he knows I love him when I insult him. In fact, he comes over for the studies every now and then. I say to him, if I insult you, it means I like you. And he says, yeah. And I said, if I don't insult you, that's an insult. And he chuckled. So I know he listens to me a day or two later in the podcast. So I'm just waving, hey, Bill. So anyway, I'm going to tease him. But, you know, we help people, right? We help people. Give them a ride. You know, go sit with them in a hospital. I remember once that when we had foreign exchange students here at the house, and we were in that kind of realm for a while, I got word of a foreign exchange student who I didn't know, and it wasn't in our particular group of foreign exchange student friends and stuff. And she had to have an operation while she was here. She's from another country. And she's just sitting in the hospital. And that the main lady who's in charge of all of it was sitting with her a lot. And I said, let me go over. I'll go over and I'll sit with her. And she didn't know who I was. And I still remember walking into the hospital room. And I said, hi. She's looking at me like, who is this guy? And I said, you don't know me. I said, we have foreign exchange students. I know that you're one. I heard that you're just stuck here. And I just came in to say hi and just to talk to you and see how you're doing. And she lit up. She just loved it. And we sat and talked for like an hour. I said, where are you from? You know, and she was so appreciative. And I said, hey, how about if I come back in a couple of days? And she said, oh, I'd love that. And then she got out before I got back there. But, you know, little things like that. You know, just little things that are helpful. And it's okay to do that. I remember once a woman was on her deathbed. And I found out about it, went to the hospital, and just walked in like that. She's a Christian woman. And I said, hi. Someone told me you were here, and that you've been by yourself a lot. And my heart aches for you. And I just thought I'd come in and just say hi. And my name is Matt. And she said, thank you so much. You know, and we just talked. And then right when it was time for me to leave, a bunch of her friends came in. It was perfect timing. You know, you can do so many things for people. And it's serving Christ by helping others, even when it's a little inconvenient. Hey, you know what? I'm just kind of blabbing. Let's get to Stacia. Oh, hey, Stacia from Washington. How are you doing?
I'm not having a great day, but I'm okay.
Oh, I know who you are. Yeah. And I know you're in a lot of pain all the time. How's that going with you?
New pain med is probably the best I've had, actually.
Okay.
It's fentanyl, delivery system is different and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's working actually really, really well. But I had a really long weekend, a really long week. First week of back at school and then at school stuff for 2 days. And so I'm not doing well today because of that. But knew it was coming, so, you know, at least I know it comes. Hoping it wasn't going to, and it's not as bad as it has been before, but so not my greatest day. Thank you for asking, by the way.
Sure.
But I wanted to tell you that in one of my classes today, we had, coincidentally, a conversation about women pastors.
Okay.
And because of what you taught us in class, I was able to nicely, because sometimes when I'm hurting, I can be a little short. But I nicely just laid it out. It was just like, well, this is what it says. This is why you can't have women pastors. And it finally just came down to the people liked the women that they knew that were pastors, and so they were in favor of women pastors. It wasn't anything biblical. It was totally because they knew someone and they liked them. But I just wanted to thank you for the information and empowering me to talk to them, because I'm not comfortable doing that.
You did a good job. And I know you used to live here in Idaho and used to come to our Bible studies regularly for a long time. And you've had some issues, and we helped out a few times. Yeah. So we go back a ways.
Yes, you have.
But thank you.
I'm glad that you've been greatly appreciated.
Well, by God's grace. But I'm glad that you were able to confront them, and they've rejected God's word for feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For feelings. Yeah, which stated that too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm hurting, it's not the best time to talk, but maybe it's, you know, maybe that's the best time to talk.
You know, it's, if you could tell me what church it was, what I do sometimes is I email them. I email churches, they have women pastors, and I'll attach information in an email. Why do you do this when the scriptures forbid it? And I said, it's not my opinion.
Almost
this is what it says
church.
Right here. What's that?
Yeah. Almost every church out here has women pastors. It's really hard to find one.
Oh, I'd love to do a circuit. Why women are not to be pastors and elders, and men get off your lazy rears and start acting like Christian, godly men and stand up for truth and righteousness and stop kowtowing to the left and to feelings and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, women want to be in control of everything because men aren't doing it. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what I say.
I say
men are better than women at most everything, including being lazy. So... It's true. We're the best serial killers and the best chefs and pilots and the best at being lazy. I mean, it's just we're extremes, you know? That's right.
That is true.
Well, it is. You know, I think it is. If you want to, you know, that's why I say you don't want to mess something up. You just need two things, people and time. And women certainly have their problems. That's for sure. But men, come on, guys. Get it together. Start acting like Christian men. You know, I was at a conference once, and I really read the riot act to the men there. I really did. Years ago, I thought they were going to kick me out of there, and they were appreciative. I really called them on the carpet.
Sometimes people need it. They need to hear it. They need to think about it, and you know, and not think about how they feel about it, but what is written, what's biblical, not. Yeah. Not how we feel. If we went by how we feel, we'd all be in trouble.
It is true.
But I wanted to thank you for your class and what you've taught. And I did actually learn. I have learned. I've missed it, by the way. But sometimes I know you might feel like we're not actually learning anything. But it was sort of like, oh, my gosh. That came from Matt. That came from Matt. That came from Matt. I mean, it came from God, but it was like, I learned that from Matt.
Praise God. Hey, there's the music, Stacia. Sorry. But hope to see you back in the area sometime, you know, but we got
to
go.
I hope to be back. Okay.
Okay, Stacia, God bless. All right. Well, that's Stacia. She used to live in the area and moved to Washington. Hey, hope you enjoyed the show. Maybe you didn't. That's okay, too. By God's grace, we'll talk to you tomorrow. See you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.